All right, reading from Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit, let that just percolate for a second. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and he said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." Lord, we thank you that you are indeed a healer. Lord, that you would come even to City Heights this morning, and that you would put your hands upon us, and that you would open our eyes to see, that you would open our ears to hear, Lord, that we might be transformed by the truth of the kingdom of God. Lord, we come to you this morning asking that you would bind every distraction, Lord, that you would put every hindrance behind, Lord, that we can run the race, Lord, towards you and find our fullness, Lord, find truth, Lord, that we can find wholeness, Lord, and that you would meet us here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen? Jesus heals this blind man, and it is a two-stage process. And in each stage, the man can see better and better. And sometimes our entry into our finding fullness in Christ is a multi-stage process. I know so often. I wait for the day when I shall not have a auto repair illustration to open the service. But alas, I do again have an auto repair illustration, because I shared with you, I think several weeks ago, that I had replaced the entire heater core cooling mechanism on the Volvo because it was an overly designed German thing or Swedish thing that really didn't work very good. So I bypassed the whole thing. It was watertight. All was good. Everybody celebrates good. Amen? I mean, it was good. And so it was so good. Joe, because he needed room for a surfboard, he took it up to school. And after a short period of time, it was no good. And he was having to, again, put water in. And so my wife came up, and she ended up bringing the Volvo back. And I start driving and open it up. And it's a pressurized overflow tank that the water holds. And it had sprung a leak. I was just like, come right out. It's an easy fix, you know. And so I go down to the junkyard, $8. I got me my, it's probably a $100 tank, I'm sure, from Volvo. $8. I have me my new, and I'm looking at the tank as I'm in the checkout line. I'm going, I think I already got one of these. And sure enough, I got home and sitting right on top of my next project, got to put the tranny in the Super 88, is a Volvo overflow tank right there. So I got two of them. Hallelujah. It's nice to have two when you got none. And so I pull that old one out. I'm getting good at it. Take just a couple minutes, put the new one in. It is good. It is watertight. All is good. And I'm driving that thing around, and it's so good. I'm ran through a tank of gas, getting some gas. I got to just wait. You know, I'm going to check underneath the hood. Open up the hood. This new tank has just sprung another leak. Squirt gun coming out. I go, at least I got a spare tank at home, right? And so pull up, you know, I got it hot, can't touch it. Let it sit for a couple of days. So yesterday morning, grab my other tank, pop that baby off, and guess what? It is good again. It is watertight. I think Joe driving it, he's going to take it back up to school, and I'm going to have the BMW back, see if anything breaks on it. Because everybody's looking for something good. Amen? That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about finding faith, talking about finding truth. And Jesus comes to reveal truth to the world, to reveal truth to his disciples. And they are struggling. We struggle because in our lives, what it comes down to is we have, is that thing blue? There it is. We have a God-sized hole in our heart. God-sized hole in our souls. And so the disciples, the people of Israel, the people of our nation, we are all spending all this great effort to take these holes and plug them and make things good. Can I get a witness? And so often we find that we got to come back and do that repair over and over and over again because our repairs are springing leaks. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? And so we get tired and we're always looking for something good. Jesus comes with the answer. And he comes and he's standing right before them. And the disciples don't see. Mark 8, 17 and 18. He says, "Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to see?" This is Mark 18. Following this, this statement is the healing of the blind man. He opens up the eyes that fail to see. Previous to this declaration, he opens the ears of a deaf man back in chapter 7. Both are a two-stage process. Because to fill the hole in your heart, you have to have the right person and you have to have the right picture of that person. See, he comes to disciples, and the problem is they've already got their holes filled. He comes to the nation of Israel. We already know what we need. We don't need you. And that is our problem as well. We spend our time, so much time, so much effort in looking for good that we do not have room for God. Because this is a God-sized hole. And when you fill your God-sized hole with that which is good, you have no room for God. Are you tracking with me? Amen. So Jesus comes to bring truth, to bring clarity, to bring an answer to what we are seeking for. See, the challenge of the kingdom of God is not so much to fill the hole, but to open the hole so that it can be filled. Can I get a witness on that part? A problem is we're looking for something good that will fill the God spot. And so often we want God to just be good. So often you hear somebody say, "A good and loving God would." A good and loving God would fit the hole that I have. Because I've got all this stuff that's in the way. And rather than have me open my hole, I need him to modify himself so he'll fill what I've got left to be filled. That's not what Jesus came to do. See, we got all of our efforts going into fixing our hearts. And all of our efforts serve to block Jesus and his efforts. Because good will never be good enough to substitute for God. Amen. Looking for something good. Let's take a look. Somebody help somebody with that phone, please. Just pull off the cover, Joe, and plug in the cable. Got it, buddy? Thank you. All right. Isn't being multilingual a blessing? Yeah. Amen? Amen? Sometimes it takes a little bit of extra effort. Can I get a witness on that? So if you want to put in some effort during the week and help me find some Spanish lyrics, I want to hear from you today. All righty. This is the other component. See, I got some Spanish words up there. I hope they're not French. All righty. Identify the solution. Mark 8, 27 and 28, Jesus and his disciples went to the village around Caesarea. This is right after the healing of the blind man. Jesus and his disciples went on the to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do the people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." The people are waiting for a solution. Jews have been waiting 400 years. God had promised them a Savior. Anybody want to be saved this morning? We have that ingrained in our hearts and in our minds because God has put that I am sending a Savior. He talks through the prophet Malachi, "I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me." This is 400 years before Christ. The Jews had been waiting for this promise to be fulfilled. And then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Malachi says later in chapter 5 that this messenger will be, for before he comes, Elijah will come. And that's why when the people say, "Well, Jesus is Elijah," because they're all waiting for this two-stage process to happen. And so they missed that John the Baptist came as Elijah. Jesus says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to all kinds of violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come." Now, Jesus knew the Old Testament. Can I get a witness on that? And he says, what you are waiting for has already started. And so the process was further along than they realized, and yet they were missing it. John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah. And so we see fulfilled in John the Baptist the prophecy that Malachi had made 400 years before. Everything was ready. Now I got to give you a little technical stuff. Talk about the Messiah. And the Messiah is spoken of, the word there means messenger of God. And that word is used throughout the Old Testament. And there is a progression in the understanding of that word or the use of that word. Because much of the Old Testament, anybody who was anointed to serve God, kings were called Messiah because they were anointed by God, the messenger of God. Some prophets were known as that. But as time goes along, and specifically from the prophecy of Malachi, that word becomes loaded with expectation. It becomes loaded with good. All their desires and all their wants start getting piled onto Messiah. We want the Messiah to handle the Romans. We want the Messiah to do this. We want the Messiah to do that. And all of a sudden, that which was God became that which was good. So when Jesus came as Messiah, and he says, "Hey, don't tell anybody," it's because they had an inaccurate picture of what the Messiah was to do. Am I freaking everybody out here? I mean, Pastor Paul says, "Amen." Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Everybody's going. So it started off, and there is this progression, but the people took it further than it was supposed to go. And that's what we do in our search for good. We do stuff that only God is supposed to do. And so often the stuff that we do gets in the way of God.
Amen.
Because only God can fill that God spot. And our efforts often get in the way. Amen? All right. Jesus is what you're waiting for. What about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter, now this, in Spanish they see it, right? Ustedes up there, for those of you who don't habla. Ustedes, yeah. That's plural. It's like Jesus saying, what about y'all? Who do y'all say that I am? He wasn't just talking to one of them. He was talking to the whole group. And Peter responds for the whole group, says, you are the Messiah. Jesus is what you're waiting for. And the disciples have got the first step on the track to the kingdom down. Are you tracking with me? But as we found out with the deaf man and we found out with the blind man, oftentimes it's a two-step process or a multi-step process. So they're there. But they're not all the way there. Amen? All of this have been grabbed onto that. Mark chapter 4, 11. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. You're going to know that Jesus Christ is the answer to your questions that will fill the hole in your life. It is because of a work that God does in heaven. This is not something that you're going to land on your own. And it's not something the disciples landed on their own. Your efforts can block the effort of heaven. But your efforts cannot substitute for the efforts of heaven. Right? No one comes to me unless my Father who's called me calls them. Amen? Tracking with me? All right, here we go. Don't tell anyone. Wait a minute. Come on now. I'm supposed to shout it from the mountaintop, right? The light is lit to shine, not to be put under a bowl. But their picture of who Messiah is all wrong. He says, man, we gotta take the next step before you get everybody all messed up. That's why he healed people. He says, go outside the village. You know, don't say this. The demons, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Shut up. Be quiet. Why? Because these people are going to take this and run with it, and they're going to run in the wrong direction. All their good efforts would just get in my way. Amen. Make sense? Paul's tracking me. Hallelujah. This is a problem with the disciples. This is a problem with the Jews as a whole. John chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Why? They had too much good in the way. They had too much of their own action in the way, and they did not have room for God. And so they killed him. They crucified him. They put him on a cross. They put together false charges and false witnesses. And they trumped it all up. And the people said, and Pilate said, man, you guys are lying. The enemy said, you're lying, and they said, kill him anyway. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. See, in our struggle to come up with that which is good, we often block that which is God. Everybody's working. Fill up that hole. Too busy to let God in. God shows up. We don't have room for him. It's been a long time since I've talked about my friend Sal. Lisa's good friend Sal, too. Me and Sal got saved. He was saved 3 months before me. And we were both in the same Bible study, and we would do all kinds of things. Sal was very competitive, unlike me. So we got along good. But Sal... Sal went to the Bible bookstore, and he bought a big old picture of Jesus, framed. I mean, you go to the Bible bookstore, you see big old, you know, like $250, $300. Well, that's what Sal got. And he put it above his bed. Oh, it's a beautiful picture, Bob. It's a beautiful picture. I'm like, okay. He goes, before I go to bed, I kneel down and I pray to it. Wow, really, Sal? And because we were students of the Bible, God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, Exodus chapter 20. It's where the Big Ten comes in. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. And so Sal has purchased this picture of Christ, which I guarantee you was not a photo. And he has substituted this picture of Christ for the real Christ. And he worships his substitution. He has substituted good for God. And because of that, he puts barriers for God to work in his heart. It was a short time later that Sal began to wear beer shirts to church outings. That he would argue with the staff that he quit coming altogether. Because good will never fill the spot that you have for God. Amen? All right, let's continue on. Are we okay? All right. Working out the details. Jesus brings clarification. Oops, let me get back. Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. And then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. So the disciples have the right person, but they don't have the right picture. They don't understand what the Messiah is going to do. You don't have it worked out. You got the wrong picture. And the picture that you have is not going to fit in the hole in your lives. So Jesus comes up with this new term for Messiah. It is the Son of Man. And Jesus refers himself over and over again as the Son of Man. This term comes most famously out of Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. And Jesus uses this new term because that term Messiah has been polluted by human usage, polluted by the desires of men, polluted by what men consider good. And we all have that habit. We grab on to what we like of the things of God, and we let the rest slide by. Because what Jesus describes here, as he describes the suffering, he describes the sacrifice. This is the first time that he describes the passion that he would go through being rejected by the religious structure of the day, would be killed, would be crucified. But it is not the first time that is referenced in text. Because in Daniel chapter 9:25, 400 years earlier, 500 years earlier, no one understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of Man comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. So they were working the math. Comes out to a lot of years. I can't do the math right now in my head. Anyway, I'm not even going there. I'm drawing a blank. So they're doing the math, and they're expecting to come. That's why when Herod was saying, hey, when's he going to come? He's coming now, all that kind of stuff. So there was expectation, but I'm going to look this way. There we go. Come on, baby. Click. There we go. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death. They just let that slide. No. That's not good. See, that's God. That's not good. We can't have our anointed one dying, but that is exactly what Jesus says. I will die. And then he brings the incredible declaration that on the third day, I will be raised again. Resurrection. Only God can fill the God spot. And so we have the words of Paul ring out. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you get the right person. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you get the right picture. You will be now you can share it. Now you can understand. Now you can shine the light. Now you can be transformed. That's not bad. Can I get a witness on that? All right. But Peter already has a plan. He's got the right person. Totally messed up picture. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and rebuked him. Jesus, you got this all wrong. This is not going to pan out. This is not going to work. This is not going to fill what I need. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Jesus, Peter has the right target, but the wrong plan. Peter wants to change Jesus from God to good. Peter wants to change Jesus from God to good. Often our greatest desire is to trade in God's truths with our truths, to redefine Him into something that we want Him to be. We want to make God good. Come on, baby. I got this great picture ready to come up. There we go. Peter says to Jesus, I can't use this. Can't you fit into this? I got this is what I need. And you're offering me something else. I need you to fit this. And he rebuked Jesus. So often, I think we have much better plans than God's plans. That God moves too slow, or God doesn't move where we think he should be moving, and that we just need to get him on track with us. And what we want is for God to become good and stop being God. The problem is that only God can fill your God spot, and we work so hard. Get behind me, Satan. You know, last week I talked about some comments or statements that I would never want to hear from Jesus. Are you still so dull? Do you still not understand? Do you have eyes to see but fail to see? Do you have ears to hear but cannot hear? Those are things I do not want to have Jesus say to me. Amen? Amen? At the top of the list is, get behind me, Satan. I mean, way at the top. This other stuff is down. And he says, Peter, you got it so wrong. Now, you can come in here today and you can have it wrong. I want you to know that Peter got it right. It's a two-stage process, or multiple-stage process, to get this to get God filling your God spot. Because you got to rip apart all the crud that you got in the way. You got to find the right person. And then you got to open the way for him to come in. And you might have the right person this morning, but you might have some stuff in the way. Peter had some stuff in the way. He had his plan. God says, Jesus says, got to get rid of that stuff. Not going to fit. Our problem is we spent all of our lives trying to fill that hole. You can know that Christ is your Savior, and you can still be trying to fill your own God-sized hole with your own efforts. And you hold Him at bay. I did that in my life for so many years. When I was 6 years old, I went to a VBS for a summer school program at the church. They were giving away candy, and the lady said, Jesus, knock on the door of your heart. You let Him in, He'll come in and dine with you. I went outside that class and said, Jesus, I want you in my heart. I don't know how to let you in. I had stuff in the way. At 6 years old, I was filling my God-sized hole with what was good. Candy back then. Turned into a lot of other stuff. 29 years old. I was so tired. I realized all my efforts at filling my hole, filling my God spot with good, totally failing. I said, God, you can have my life. I have destroyed it and ripped away all the crud that I had placed in my God spot. And Jesus slid right in. I felt the Holy Spirit, and I have been a new creation ever since. Amen. I still have a lot to go, but it's been good. Mm-hmm. Amen? All right, let's continue on. Here we go. Still with me?
Yes.
Oh, not even that long. God is very different from good. Then he called the crowd, given the particulars of the plan. He called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, so this is for everybody, not just the inside crew. It's for me and you. Called the crowd with him along with the disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Jesus calls us to deny ourselves. Calls us to move from good to God. Says you have been trying to substitute being good for being godly. You got to stop that. Self-denial is where self is not the focus of your life. You deny yourself and you put Christ as the focus of your life. Pick up your cross. Call from last week's message. This message, Mark writes primarily to the church in Rome, which is a persecuted church. They knew what it meant to pick up a cross. They would line hundreds of Christians on the roads out of Rome being crucified. Nero would light his gardens with Christians set aflame on crosses. The games, they would wrap Christians in skins and have animals eat them for sport. They knew what it meant to surrender your life for Christ. Jesus calls us all to die. Die to good and be raised to God. He says, I'll offer you a trade. Your life for mine. And he says, realistically, all your efforts are good. You can't keep it up. I couldn't keep it up. Many of you realize all your efforts are good come to nothing. Amen? Amen. Last thing we have for you today. There is sometimes no way back. I hope this is not for you. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, boy, that's our generation, isn't it? The Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory and with the holy angels. You can get some places that you just can't get back. Denying Christ is something you can't get away from. Christians are forced to choose good or God. Roman soldiers would come up to the population of Rome and question, are you a Christian? If they were not a Christian, they would sometimes be killed on the spot. If they were not a Christian, they could be arrested, their homes taken, seized, and they could be put on trial and then crucified. There were those who would say, no, I'm not a Christian. Yes. There were those who would not take upon the shame of Christ. And for those, When Jesus comes back, there is a message. Then get behind me, Satan. Hear Jesus say, I never knew you. That indeed could be quite scary. Can't have both good and God. There is not room for both. And when it comes right down to it, what do you have that you can offer for your soul? If you surrender your soul, how might you purchase it back? Not even the wealth of Donald Trump is enough to purchase one soul. But Jesus has an offer. I will give you my sinless life. I will give you my death on the cross. He says, to get that, I took your shame on the cross. Jesus asked us to join him in a life of sacrifice. The cross is a place of shame. You can't get by it. Can't avoid it. Jesus says, you join me in my shame, and I will join you in yours. Can't have good and God. Lisa, you want to come up? Last question for you today. What is filling your God spot? Jesus comes to each person. Came to me when I was 6 years old. Can I come in? Says, he knocks on the door of your heart. And then if you open that door, he will come in and dine with you. And you can dine with him. But many of us have no space. Many of us have no room. That life is conducted on his terms. He gives us the terms right here. Self-denial. Put me as the focus of your life, and we will hang out. Many people have other things in mind. You might come here this morning with other things in mind. Two-stage process, knowing the person, knowing the plan. Perhaps you have never realized that only Jesus can transform your life. You've never said, Jesus, I give you my life. I am so messed up. I surrender to you. You're here this morning, and the Holy Spirit is just saying, that is you this morning. You are lost. Well, you can be found. You can take that first step, have Jesus spit in your eye, just like he did that blind man. Perhaps you've taken that first step, but the picture is unclear. You feel like Peter this morning. Man, I know who Jesus is, but I just can't sync up with the picture. I struggle with the plan. I'd so love Jesus to come in and work my plan for me rather than have him come in and I'll work his plan with him. Well, I don't know where you're at, but the Lord does. I hope you do, because you can take a step this morning. You can substitute God for good, and you can be filled. Lord, we come to you this morning. Some of us, Lord, we're never going to get it all right till we see you face to face. Lord, we all need to take steps. But the person and the plan, two massive steps. And this morning we come and some people need to take both. We're just working on one today. you're here this morning and you have not given your life to the Lord. You have not said, oh, it's Jesus. I need the Son of Man in my life so I can be transformed. I'm ready to surrender my life for your life. That's you this morning. The Lord is speaking to your heart right now. If the Lord is speaking to your heart right now, you are probably freaking out a little bit. But there's a lot of people who have experienced this. And just like that blind man, he says, man, I see people. They're like trees, man. It's like it's not all there, but you got to get through that first step to get to the second step. You're here this morning. The Lord's saying, you need to receive me as your Savior. With nobody looking around, you just reach your hand up to say to heaven and say, Lord, come into my God spot. I am so empty and I need to be filled. With nobody looking around, just slide your hand up right over here. Somebody else would say, that's me this morning. That's me this morning. Come into my heart, Lord. Buddy else would say, that's me. Maybe you're here this morning and and you have done that. Because Jesus comes and he knocks. Easy to recognize. But you got some action in the way. Lord's telling you right now, I'm trying to fit in, but you got too much in the way. I know you're trying to do good, but that good is pinching me out. I need you to make a change. This morning, the Lord's speaking to your heart, saying, you got stuff in the way. You got to move it so we can move ahead. Nobody looking around, that's you. Lord, speaking right to your heart, saying, you got to make a move. Got some clutter. Time to pull it out. Nobody looking around at you, just raise your hand up. Say, that's me this morning. I got to get some of this stuff out of the way. Here, here. But you'll say, that's me. I got to get some crud out of the way. I'll tell you what. You can look up now. We'll stop praying. I got so much crud in my garage. I don't even see it. My wife pleads with me. One day, I get this Super 88 out of here. I want my garage back. And I'm like, one day.